The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 gasoline and Triton motor oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. Excitement and danger are the salt and pepper in Mike Shane's recipe for life. But at this particular moment, Mike seems fresh out of spice and seasoning. Life is very dull for our detective friend. So dull, in fact, he almost yawns right in the very pretty face of his secretary, Phyllis Knight.
4:10. You've had that poetry book propped under your nose since lunch.
Well, certainly. If I'm going to write poetry reviews, I've got to read them.
Exactly. 3 people have walked through that door today. 1 bill collector and 2 guys asking where they could...
Mike.
Where they could comb their hair.
3 + 1 = 4.
You, sir, are Monsieur Michael Shane, the private detective?
If it's all right with you, ma'am.
I am Madame Jolene Toulot.
Once again?
Madame Jolene Toulot. But, of course, I shouldn't expect a detective to know and the...
Jolene Toulot, the opera star, of course. Won't you have a chair, please?
The other one, Phil, it's strong. More comfortable.
Young man, I weigh 230 pounds. If this chair won't hold me, I'll let you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
A big voice means a big body. Did you ever hear a voice from one of those little musical comedy whippets? No? No more voice than a sick grasshopper.
Madame Toulot, you wish to see Mr. Shane about some problem, a case?
Of course. What did I come here for? It's in my purse. Here, read this letter.
Thank you. Madame, this is your last warning. If the book is published, you will not be here to enjoy the pain it causes. That's all. It's unsigned.
This is the second one I have received in the past 2 weeks.
Well, what on earth does it mean, the book?
My memoirs. Oh. Everybody knows I am writing them. A lot of famous people will lose sleep when they read what I, Madame Jolene Toulot, has told about them. But I want to live, to enjoy it.
You wish me to investigate who's sending you these notes?
I do.
I'm sorry, madam. I'm not a press agent. Writers have tried this publicity stunt before.
Why, you young cochon! Very well. I'll go to a good detective.
I wish you luck, madam.
I like you, young man. You talk back to me and don't apologize.
Only in months spelt with an R.
I admit I like publicity, Mr. Shane. I love to see my name in print, but not in the obituary. If you will take the case, I'll give you the names of the people that might have written these notes.
Go ahead, Mike. We wouldn't want anything to really happen to Madame Toulot.
Thank you, my dear. What is your name?
Phyllis. Phyllis Knight. I remember hearing you sing Carmen when I was a little girl.
You're older than I thought. You like opera?
Oh, I love it, yes. I've got record albums at home of Aida and Carmen, Rigoletto, Cavaliero Rusticana. Wait a minute. Didn't I see in the papers that you were singing that tonight? The benefit series.
Yes, my 5th farewell appearance.
Coming back to business, madam, you were going to give me some names.
Yes, the first one is Roderick Mackenzie of the Newport Mackenzies, an old suitor of mine.
Would he threaten to kill you?
He's come clear out to the coast just to keep his name out of my memoirs. He wants to buy his letters back from me.
Oh?
My dear Jolene, he says, I was wild, a wild and foolish boy, but that was long ago. There is my family, circle.
You're writing this down, honey?
Uh-huh, yes.
Then there's my ex-husband, Edwin Buck. He's got political ambitions which my book might sour. And Leonora Baril, Madame Baril. Do you think I have to sing tonight with that Hungarian hoot owl? Oh, and one other, Savadal, our maestro.
They're all in your memoirs?
Any others?
Yes. Savadal, our maestro, he hates the air I breathe because I won't let Helen marry him.
Helen?
My secretary, Helen Smith.
Oh.
The girl thinks she's in love with him. She's too young, too good for him.
You might add the secretary to the list, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Helen? Impossible. She couldn't. She's... No, never.
Well, we've got 4 names here. Now, where do I find these people?
Come to the opera tonight, the Figaro Theater. I will have them all there for you.
Figaro Theater, okay.
It's a double bill. Pagliacci, then Cavalleria. I sing in the second half. Let us meet in my dressing room during the intermission.
One thing more, madam. Do we have to listen to the opera itself?
Of course. Someday you can tell your children you heard Madame Jeline Torlot. You will never forget tonight.
That's what I'm afraid of.
I wanted to hear the end of Pagliacci.
Yeah, so do I. It can't end quick enough.
Oh, you're just being childish. You like music and singing.
Yeah, sure, darling, but when guys get up on the stage and insult each other, I want to enjoy it in English.
Oh.
Yes?
Oh, we thought this was Madame Turlow's dressing room. I'm sorry.
It is. Madame has no come here yet.
Oh, well, we were to meet her here in her dressing room. Can we come in and wait?
I am waiting to see her.
Okay, we'll make it a threesome. The names are Miss Knight and Mike Shane.
So? I am Savadel.
The maestro? But I thought you were conducting...
Cavalleria only, madame.
Oh.
Diavolo, she's late. Excuse me. Hello? Madame, the time I wait. So? See, they are here. You, Mr. Shane. She won't talk.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Mr. Shane, I am going to be late. A certain person has been here at the house trying to tear up my memoirs.
What? Who?
I'll tell you when I get to the theater. Come back to the dressing room after the performance. Au revoir.
Goodbye.
I want to talk to her.
I'm sorry, maestro. She hung up.
Oh, that woman, that big girl, will not stand to this. I warn her. No, we do it.
I'll do what? Hey, just a second there.
That, my dear, is what we artists call temperament. Fortissimo.
Yeah, well, I've got a plainer name for it. Come on, darling, let's go back to our seats and join the other sufferers.
Mike.
Hmm?
Hey, that man conducting the orchestra, he doesn't look like Savadel.
Yeah, you're right. It's the same bald head who umpired the first opera.
Yeah, but Savadel said he would. I wonder what it means.
Don't ask me, darling. The only thing I know about grand opera is the price of our tickets.
Hey, that's awfully funny.
Yeah.
Well, this is the last part of the prelude, and right now the tenor is supposed to be singing off stage.
The curtain's going up.
There's nobody on the stage.
Somebody's coming out from the wings now.
It's Savadel.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Quiet.
Please. I am regret to announce there will be tonight no Cavalleria Rusticana. I have to announce there is a tragedy. Our soprano, Madame Turlow, is dead.
We'll return to Mike and Phyllis in just a moment. Many motorists blame poor mileage, sluggish pickup, and inferior engine performance on wartime gasoline. Now, it's true that all civilian gasoline must be restricted in quantity and quality due to government regulations. But if you've been having trouble with a rough motor, or your gas coupons don't seem to go quite as far as they used to, ask yourself this question. How long has it been since my spark plugs were checked? You see, spark plugs have a lot to do with engine performance. If they're old or burned or dirty, they won't fire properly and they waste gasoline. In fact, engineering tests show that defective plugs can waste one tankful of gasoline out of 10. Now, there's no reason why anyone should put up with this condition when it's so easy to have your Union Oil Minuteman check your spark plugs. Union Oil spark plug inspection is scientifically performed. The condition of each plug is carefully measured on a special machine, and you can see the results for yourself. If your plugs are dirty, the Minuteman will clean and adjust them. The cost of this service is only a few cents per plug, and you'll soon save that in extra mileage. you'll find Union Oil Minutemen ready to serve you wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76. The sudden death of Madame Turlot has been announced from the opera stage. It's a few minutes later. Mike and Phyllis are at the home of the dead singer. As they hurry through the entrance hall, Inspector Faraday is explaining.
Well, for once, Mike, I beat you to the scene. Yeah. The old lady started to phone the police, but never completed the call. One of our operators heard gunshots over the phone.
So you hightailed it right over?
Yeah, when somebody at the opera phoned for her, I gave him the news. Well, this is the living room. The bodies, well, you can see for yourself.
But, Inspector, there are two of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As bloody as Grand Opera itself.
Oh.
And when she came to our office, I thought it was a publicity stunt. Mike Shane, you're a hero.
Oh, Mike, you couldn't possibly know.
I haven't had time to identify the other body. It's a woman of, I'd say, 25 or 26.
That's probably Helen Smith, the secretary. Only we knew who was here with Madame Turlot when she telephoned you at the theater.
Yeah. The somebody who had just tried to destroy her manuscript.
So that's what it was, a manuscript. One of my boys found a pile of paper over there in the fireplace.
Huh?
A lot of it was burned up.
Uh-huh. Looks like some old photographs and letters, too.
Oh, maybe that's the coroner. Be right back, kids.
Okay.
Look at these, Mike. Here, these pages didn't burn.
Chapter 5, My Husband. There never was a more dashing, gallant figure of a man than Edwin Buck. There's something screwy here. She's giving him a gold-plated Oscar, unless it's supposed to be sarcasm.
Her desk looks as if she'd been working on a manuscript, Mike. A lot of typewriter paper and carbon sheets. Only used a couple of times.
Oh, good, good. You know what to do with them.
Mike, what are you staring at?
Bloodstains on the carpet. They trail from the phone over here to the piano where she died.
Oh. Well, she must have clutched at the music rack as she fell. There's music all over the floor.
Uh-huh. She's got a couple of sheets crumpled in her hand. Looks like they were torn out of something.
I see. That's part of an opera score. An aria from Rigoletto.
Court I.G. on I.V.L.Z.
Mike. Corsiani Virazzi. It's a baritone aria.
I thought she was a soprano.
Oh.
Helen, mamma mia, Helen.
No, Sabadell, no, don't touch her.
I don't know who these men are, but they all insist they're special friends of Madame Turlot. What's your name, sir?
Edmund Buck. I was once her husband.
And you?
Roderick McKenzie. I've known Jolene for, a long time.
I was supposed to meet all three of you gentlemen this evening about certain threatening letters sent to Madame Turlot. Mm-hmm.
So I understand.
Have you got those letters, Mike?
I have one, Inspector, here in my purse.
Maestro Savadell, when we were in the dressing room with you, you blew your top about Madame. You said you had warned her, and now you would do it. Do what, Maestro?
I was a-meaning for Helen. Madame, she say, we cannot marry. I say, Madame Turlot have no right to stop us. Tonight I'm a decide. No more talk. We do it.
And where did you go when you slammed out?
First I go for a walk. Get over my temper. Then I phone Madame. She's a very late. They say she's a dead.
Mr. Buck, you came here for some reason, but you're very quiet.
Yes, I... Oh, it's so horrible that...
How long ago were you divorced from Madame Turlot?
About 18 years.
I understand you have political ambitions. Is that right?
I hope to run for Congress.
And what your ex-wife wrote about you might do your opponents more good than you.
Hmm? Why, no. From all Jolene told me, she wrote rather well of me.
From all she told us, that wasn't her idea.
Can you tell us, Mr. Buck, where you were during the past hour?
Why, certainly. At the opera to hear Jolene.
Mm-hmm. Mr. McKenzie, I believe you made a special trip here from New York to keep your name out of these memoirs.
There's no crime in that.
You tried to buy your letters back from Madame.
I did. I have my family to think of, my social standing. Some of my letters were, full of youthful enthusiasm. I was afraid Jolene would distort them.
Mr. McKenzie, where were you during the past hour?
I was at the opera.
No, that is one a lie. He was here. I'm see him.
All right, McKenzie. Drop the innocent act. What were you doing here?
Well, if you must know, I came to talk to Jolene's secretary.
And?
I was going to bribe her to steal my letters for me. But nobody answered the door. I never got in. You can't prove anything on me.
Except that you're a poor liar, sir. That goes for all of you. Any one of you three could have sneaked up here from the opera and killed these women. Inspector?
Yes, Mike.
Madam has some of the musical score in her right hand. I want to borrow it for an hour or so.
But, Mike, that's evidence.
Nothing's going to happen to it, Inspector. And, honey, if you'll give me the keys to your apartment, please.
What? I'll go with you.
No. I want you here to sort of observe proceedings.
Mr. Shannon, please. I want to talk with you. It must be private.
Inspector Faraday will be glad to hear anything you have to say, Maestro. I'll be seeing you, children. Oh, Angel, you dropped your handkerchief.
Hmm? Oh, thanks.
All right, Mr. Sabado. What was it you wanted to tell Mike?
Oh, it's a, like I say, it's a private.
Okay, I suppose it's private why you came here earlier and saw Mackenzie.
I'm all ready to tell. I come to see Helen and say to Madam that we get married. But nobody's opened the front door. They're already dead.
Inspector.
Now what?
This isn't my handkerchief. It's got the initials LB.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Leonore Beryl, the singer. Her name was on our list, too.
And she must have been here. We're knee-deep in suspects.
Well, maybe this one is the fish we're really after. See you later, Inspector.
Hey, Phil, where are you going?
Where do you suppose? Right, Inspector?
I hope you will excuse my appearance, but I'm... Well, I am so unstrung from this shock.
Yes, yes, I understand, Miss Barilla.
Shalane and I, we were such good friends. She was like a mother to me.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. Did you see her today?
Today? Oh, no. No, I... Oh, my eyes. Mascara.
Oh, here, use this hanky.
Oh, thank you.
You buy very expensive handkerchiefs, Miss Barilla.
What?
That handkerchief. It's yours. You dropped it in the living room. Ghislaine Turlough's living room.
Oh.
You did see her today, didn't you? In fact, this evening.
How did you know?
I didn't. There's a shop in the dark. I see you use a typewriter.
What are you doing?
Just checking something. Will not be... Yep, it's the same.
It is the same what?
The letter E on your typewriter, exactly like the E in the note threatening the life of Ghislaine Turlough.
All right. I was trying to scare her. She had me in her memoirs. I am trying to get my husband back. But if Salvador reads the malicious way she twisted things...
Salvador? He's your husband?
And our divorce became final last month. But I am going to get him back.
Oh. He was going to elope with Helen. So you got rid of the girl. Then you had to kill the other woman.
Get out of here. Get out of here!
Gladly, gladly. I think you've told me
that
all we need to
know. With women. They tell it too much.
Oh, Sabadell,
how did you get here?
The inspector, he's a turn loose everybody but Mr. Mackenzie. Now, I talk to you.
No, you don't.
You stay, Sabadell, want to talk.
You let go of me.
Get over there, you bite.
Stop her. Stop her. She's getting away.
Sister, I am away. Of the time because
wait
everything that
please,
she said...
Please, Angel, please give it to me slow. I can't get it all at once.
Well, listen, all right. Faraday has turned everybody loose except Mackenzie. He's holding the wrong man.
Well, it could be, but Inspector Faraday must have his reason.
But the handkerchief. Leonore Beryl admitted she was with Madame Turlough tonight, and she was married to Savadel.
So he said.
Well, doesn't all this mean anything to you? Savadel tried to keep me in that apartment.
Mm-hmm. Men try that occasionally.
Oh.
By the way, did you check Madam's carbon paper?
I did not. I found more important things to do.
Phyllis, I told you...
Mike, stop fiddling with that phonograph and listen to me. Leonore Beryl sent those threatening letters. She wanted Savadel back, but he was going to elope with Helen. Don't you think Leonore would be mad enough to kill her and Ghislaine Turlough?
If you think that, why were you so scared of Savadel?
Because they're in it together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, honey, have you got some extra phonograph needles? This one's getting scratchy.
Oh, Mike...
What's the matter? Something wrong?
Yes, you.
Huh?
I beat my brains out trying to help you on this case. You just stand there gawking at sheet music and phonograph records.
Excuse, please, but the doorbell.
That's the apartment phone, stupid. Down by the mailboxes.
Oh, I'll get it. It's probably Inspector Faraday. Hello?
Please. Mr. Phyllis and Knight.
Well, who is it and what do you want?
Senor Sabadell, I must see her at once.
Look, mister, look, this is Mike Shane. If you come around here to pester Phyllis, I'll
put
you...
No, please. I want to talk to both of you. It's a secret. I have an idea. Oh.
Hello?
Oh.
Hello? Hello?
Oh.
Hello?
Mr. Shane.
Yeah?
The aria. The aria. Oh.
Sabadell. Sabadell, what's wrong? Sabadell!
In just a moment, we'll return to Michael Shane and his adventures. A few minutes ago, we mentioned some of the reasons why clean spark plugs are important to the efficient performance of an automobile engine. Now, while you're having your spark plugs checked, it's a good idea to ask the Minuteman to look at your ignition cables, too. These cables are the small, fine wires which deliver electricity to the spark plugs. If any of them are broken or frayed or the insulation damaged, even brand new plugs won't help your driving. You see, old or damaged ignition cables leak electricity, so that by the time the charge gets to the spark plug, there isn't enough juice left for the rich spark needed for instant firing. So to get full power out of old engines, ask the Union Oil Minuteman to check both spark plugs and ignition cables. Then you'll be sure of more power and better mileage. Just drive in wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76 and ask for Union Oil Ignition Service. Thank you. For the second time tonight, a phone call has been ended suddenly by a revolver shot. It is minutes later. Mike and Phyllis are standing on the sidewalk outside Phil's apartment house. Two men in white are lifting a limp body onto an ambulance stretcher.
Mike, do you think he'll live?
Well, the doctor says he will if they get him to the hospital quick enough. Mm. Even so, we won't be able to question him for days, and that may be too late.
Not a soul in this crowd saw who did it.
Somebody decided Sabadell shouldn't talk to us.
Yeah.
Oh, if I had only listened to him when he tried to tell me something at Madame Turlow's. Or you at Leonor Baril's.
Well, if we just knew what he wanted to tell us.
I think I have a sneaking hunch, honey.
You have?
Yep. Well, come on, Bright Eyes. We're going to phone Inspector Faraday and send out the invitations.
Invitations?
Mm-hmm. To a midnight reunion at Madame Turlow's. The guest list will be very select and slightly dangerous. Good evening, Inspector.
Hello, Inspector.
You round up everybody?
I did. They're in the living room. Come on in.
Okay.
That package under your arm, Mike, what is it?
Patience, me lad, patience. Everything in due time.
Mike, you tell me on the phone that Mackenzie was innocent and to release him. Well, I haven't.
You mean you've got proof on him?
Mackenzie came clear across the continent just to stop Madame Turlow from publishing that book. He admits he was going to bribe her secretary to steal the stuff for him. And Savadell placed him here at the house at or about the time of the killing. That's enough for me.
There's just one hitch, Inspector.
What?
How about the killer trying to remove Sabadell, too, at the very time you had Mackenzie at headquarters?
Say, that's right.
Yeah. Unless Sabadell's ex-wife did it in a fit of anger.
Mm. Miss Baril, this is Mr. Shane.
So, I understand I have you to thank for dragging me out at this unearthly hour.
Yes, Miss Baril. Mr. Buck, how are you?
As well as could be expected.
Phyllis, will you look up those carbon papers now?
Yeah, right away.
I believe Inspector Faraday has told you of the shooting of Maestro Sabadell, so the first thing we want to know from both of you is, where were you during the past hour?
Well, I was at home, reading the newspaper story about tonight.
Oh, an incomplete story, I'm afraid. And you, Miss Baril?
Also at home.
When Miss Knight left you and Sabadell, or should I say, escaped from you, what happened?
Nothing.
You and Sabadell had a fight. He accused you of killing Helen so he couldn't marry her.
I told him I didn't, and it's the truth.
All right. Now, honey, how about the carbons?
All checked. Madame Turlow was still working on the chapter, My Husband.
And?
We were right the first time. She's anything but flattering to Mr. Buck.
Rubbish. She was very kind to me.
Well, here's the carbon sheets. We found them on Madame's desk, never used only twice. I just held them up in front of my vanity mirror and read what she'd typed, and it was not flattering.
Well, how was I to know that? I thought it was all favorable to me.
Well, that's a minor issue now, anyway. The real key is Helen Smith, the secretary.
How do you mean, Mike?
Madame Turlow was against a marriage between Helen and Sabadell. She told us it would never happen.
Huh?
Now, doesn't that strike any of you as a little strange? Employers usually don't have such control over the lives of their secretaries.
Okay, Mike, but get to the point.
Ah, that is the point, Inspector. And now you wanted to know what I have in this package.
Yeah.
First, the music score we found in Madame Turlow's hand. A baritone aria from Rigoletto.
The Cortegiane Virazzi.
Pronunciation by courtesy of Miss Phyllis Knight.
Thank you,
darling. And next we have Phil's record album of the same opera. Angel, will you warm up the Madame's phonograph for me?
If you ask me, this is all very cheap and dramatic.
Operatic is the word, Miss Borrell. You see, when Madame Turlow was trapped, she made a dying effort to tell us who killed her and Helen, especially Helen. She tore a very special aria from the score of Rigoletto. In a desperate gamble, somebody would understand it.
Mr. Shane, I don't believe you are the man to give us a course on opera appreciation.
Well, we shall see, Miss Buddy.
Photograph's ready, Mike.
Okay, Dolly. Now, do you people know the plot of Rigoletto and what this aria means?
Well, of course. I have sung Rigoletto.
I'm afraid I have only a hazy idea.
All right. This is the setup. A gang of the Duke's courtiers have just kidnapped a girl. Now this guy Rigoletto is cursing them. Now he's begging them to give her up, and they won't. Now he tells them a secret. The girl is his own daughter. Well, does that mean anything to you, Miss Burrill?
Not a thing.
You, Mr. Buck?
I can't say that it does.
Okay, then I'll put on the other record. Now, this is the end of the opera, the payoff. Miss Burrill, as an opera star, tell us what's happening on the stage right now.
Why, Rigoletto had planned to kill his enemy, the Duke.
Right. He has the body in a sack, and then he makes a discovery. Now, listen carefully, Mr. Buck. Rigoletto opens the sack and sees a girl's body. He cries, "Speak, oh, speak to me, my darling daughter. Oh, awful fate. By my hand she hath fallen."
What?
What's that?
My child. Helen was my child.
Helen was Shalane's daughter?
Then Buck is her father?
I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yes, her father. And her murderer.
Well,
are you feeling better?
Ah, Mr. Shane, to you, bigger congratulations. Your work, bravo. She's the most brilliant.
Well, thank you, Maestro. I thought it was pretty good myself.
Good. Well, Buck could hardly add anything to his confession. He hadn't seen his daughter Helen since she was 6 years old. Buck says he just wanted to scare Madam out of publishing her book. Helen tried to grab the gun, it went off. Then he had to shoot again.
Mr. Salvadel, you had something you wanted to tell me privately. Can you talk now?
Yes, yes, I can. Tonight, I see aria from Rigoletto in a madam's hand.
Mm-hmm.
The ideas have come to me. Maybe Helen is not often the way she's to think. Maybe she is the daughter of Madame and Mr. Buck. The same idea Mr. Shane have, but I must tell in private.
Well, why under the sun would Jelaine Tillot keep such a secret from her husband and her own daughter?
We in opera are strange people. Mm. Madame Tillot live and breathe opera. She's a very dramatic. She's an enjoy secret. Just like a storybook.
Speaking of operas, Angel, I notice you got another record album up at your apartment. Maybe if I studied it, I might get the answer to another problem.
Mike, not another crime.
Well, a different sort. It's The Marriage of Figaro. Catch on, Miss Knight?
Then, Mr. Shane, you must translate better than your Rigoletto.
But just a minute ago, you were complimenting me about...
See, only your thinking. But the aria, no. I've never heard such a bad translation.
Oh, Mike. Dear, I was so proud of your learning and your culture.
Well, what about you? You didn't correct me. You're supposed to be the highbrow in this partnership.
Oh, I am.
Opera, music, books, poetry, reviews. Climb down off that pedestal, you fake.
Why, Michael Shane.
Phil, there's only one book a man wants a woman to review.
I know. A cookbook.
Right.
Tune in again next week at 8:30 for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as Inspector Faraday. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.